We're recording.
Okay. It is January 23rd, 2020. It is a new decade and a new year, and this is the first meeting for Animal Control and Protection Advisory Board. And since it is a new decade, we're going to start with doing things a little bit different this year. As you see, we have a new agenda, a new format for the agenda. So we're going to try and structure things a little bit differently this year and keep in touch with Robert and his rules of order a little bit more than we have in the past. And so that should help us to get through things quicker and be more involved with Susan, and we can all be a better team together. So with that said, we will do roll call first, and I am Pat Bitches. I am the cat owner and chair of the board.
I'm Ariel Young. I'm the co-chair and representing animals other than dogs or cats.
Charlena Miller, member at large.
Tabitha Duggar, dog owner.
Susan Anderson, manager, animal protection and control.
Thank you. The next thing on our agenda is adopt the agenda, which is something new that we have never had before. So adopt an agenda is just important because it's our first way for the public meeting, a chance for everybody to say, okay, this is what we're going to do in the meeting, or if somebody wants to amend the agenda and add something different to it, then that would be the time to do that or make any changes on it, or otherwise we would just make a motion to adopt the agenda as it is, and we would go from there. So that's basically how the adopt agenda works. And we have a late arriver, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Yes, sorry, I'm Lisa Fader with the Humane Society.
Thank you, so we know that you're here.
Yes.
So the agenda for tonight, is there...
I'd like to make a motion to add, to amend the agenda. I would like to add a new business item to have a discussion about adding bite. This was something brought up in our October 2019 agenda. So I'd like to add to new business a discussion about adding a definition for bite. So I make a motion for that.
Okay, the motion is accepted.
Yes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. So we have a motion and been accepted to add bites to the bottom of new business. Okay, the motion passed, and we have added bites.
Okay.
We're trying to get this straight. We're still working with new formatting here.
And maybe it's not in the correct place, but that is included in the code updates to Title 8 listed in unfinished business.
Right. We did see that, but
okay.
We wanted
it
to...
It has to be listed separately on the
agenda. Well, we wanted to make it a separate thing because there was not a definition already in the update.
Okay.
So we wanted to have it as a separate item. That was the theory behind that.
Okay.
Is there anything else on agenda? Okay, so
nothing.
Then the agenda would be approved as it has been changed with our one motion then. So
I make a motion to accept tonight's agenda.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion passes. Okay.
I'm having a hard time with that.
<laughs> <laughs> So,
yeah, approval of the minutes next, and minutes are audio recorded, so they are their own approval, and we don't need to make a motion on that. We can just move on to special orders. And special orders, we have no special orders because this is a new thing on our agenda. But special orders are...
Special orders, are we...
Yeah.
Reports.
Is that reports first? It's so small, I can't read it. Oh, it is. I'm sorry, I skipped right over that. Sorry. Okay, we'll come back to that. disregard. So, reports are first. I missed the whole section. So, first, Susan, animal control reports.
Yes, so I thought I'd start out by just giving a basic overview of animal protection and control as an agency and how it's laid out. I knew we have a fairly brand new member, and I don't know how familiar she is with how the county is set up and how we fit into the overall county. So I did do a little chart on the board here to give everybody kind of a visual of how the county is laid out. I did kind of a reverse pyramid here. This is more of kind of flip it on its head so that the employees are actually at the top. But we start out down here with the Board of County Councilors, of course, the elected officials for the county. The county manager can actually make the managerial decisions for the county. And so that individual, his name is Sean Hennessy, is my boss's boss. My manager is the director of community development. His name is Mitch Nichols. This would be me here kind of in the middle. And then this is the staffing resources that we have in our division. So we are a division within community development. We have one dispatcher. Her classification is actually an office assistant 2. Her name is Jessica. We have one office assistant 3 position. That position has been vacant since mid-November, and we are collecting applications and recruiting for that right now. And then we have 5 animal control officers, usually go by the acronym ACO, and that is our proud, hardworking team that we have. We do cover animal calls 7 days a week. So it's pretty challenging to do that with only five officers and one dispatcher. But we make it work by having the officers on Saturdays and Sundays responding mostly to emergency calls, so the higher priority calls, whereas the rest of the week when we have more coverage, we're responding to the more routine calls that we get, a variety of things. What else was I going to say about that? We do provide coverage for animal emergencies overnight as well. So 365 days a year, even when the county offices are closed, if a person is having an animal-related emergency, they can call 911, and we contract with an after-hours service provider that will respond to animal-related emergencies on county holidays from 5 p.m. to 8 a.m., so all night long. So we do provide a high level of service, even considering the fairly limited resources that we have. Any questions about how all that works, Pat?
Since 1st of January, when they did this split with community development, and code enforcement was going to be on the other side from animal control,
mm-hmm.
but you still have code enforcement underneath your name, so are you still managing both departments?
Yes, I am. That's not slated, that has not been proposed to change.
Okay.
And the split to 2 different departments, that has not officially happened yet. The council has not approved that yet.
Okay. It's just on the drawing board, so to speak, then.
It's being discussed.
Okay.
And I think the budget,
so there's
the
no plan for you to, for them to hire a different manager for code enforcement then?
Not at this time.
Okay. No. But code enforcement has its own, as you draw the diagram here, they have their own office assistant and their own code enforcement people. This dispatcher and office assistant doesn't do anything for code enforcement.
That is correct.
Okay.
Those are 2 completely different divisions
okay.
in the same department,
okay.
and I still manage both of them.
Okay, but yes. it's completely separate staff. Okay.
That is correct.
Okay, that's
they're in different unions and everything. It's totally separate.
Okay. Okay, that's what I thought.
I'm the only thing they have in common. That and a copy machine.
So we have all 5 positions of officers filled.
Correct.
And how new are those officers? Like, how long have they been with us?
because we're unfamiliar with them. We don't know who they are.
Okay. What I can tell you is that 3 out of the 5 were hired since August of 2008.
Oh, okay. So a while.
2018. No, I'm sorry, 2018. 2018. Sorry about that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, sorry about that. Okay. 2018. So 3 of the 5
are very
have started since August of 2018.
And the other two?
Thank you. And the other two, one, I believe, has been there about a year and a half as of August
2018,
and the 5th officer has been there many, many years. 15 years. And the dispatcher is also brand new. She's only been there 6 months.
And is this layout fully staffed for you?
Yes, it is.
So is 5 plus an AO3 and a dispatcher. So 5 officers, an AO3, OA3,
sorry,
and a dispatcher.
Officers. Right.
Office assistant, mm-hmm, a dispatcher, and 5 officers. That's fully staffed, servicing the county, the city, and Yakult completely.
Correct.
Well, fully staffed by what your budget is, not fully staffed from what you would like to have.
Well, and that was going to be my next
all
question. Is this fully staffed? Is
all
this fully
FTEs
staffed now?
All
the FTEs that you have currently allotted are,
yes,
now fully staffed.
Yes. Well, with the exception of the vacant.
You have one vacant position.
Right.
And then, what? Okay. So that is fully staffed. If you were to fill the office assistant, you would be fully staffed for the FTEs that are allotted by the county. Okay.
That is correct. Just to kind of tag on to that thought, I am working on a staff report right now where I'm going to be requesting of the council to approve a project pet license officer position for a 24-month period. That's the longest you can bring on a project employee.
Mm-hmm.
Just making it a project in hopes of higher likelihood that they will approve that request. So that is in the works right now.
And that would be somebody to work in the office to do paperwork and in the field both?
No, it's actually very little paperwork. The pet license officer's job description is mostly public outreach in the field, trying to get more animals licensed.
Okay.
And then processing the paperwork that goes along with that in the office. That officer, though, would also be fully commissioned, just like the ACOs, and they would be able to fill in on vacations or sick days as an ACO.
Okay.
Any other questions about that?
No. Okay. Thank you for the little flip chart.
Sure. And that's given that I've been told, well, I should say everyone has been told that the county's not adding positions. So I'm still going to go for it, though. So, wish me luck. Just have to really sell it. Other than that, the stats, and I apologize for not getting these out sooner. Requested some assistance putting these numbers together, and it just all kind of came together the last couple of days. But there's really not anything that jumps out as far as changes from one year to the next. We're actually doing better than we did in 2018 when it comes to the requests for service. We've had more complaints or requests for service come in, so we've been busy. And responses, same thing. We essentially respond to every request we get. We do have to refer a few to other agencies and things like that if they're not in our jurisdiction, of course. Notices of violation and abatement. I'm going to have to check into why our penalties collected are so low, given the number of notices we issued. That doesn't seem to line up, really, but at least in the city, On the county side, we sent out a lot, but not a lot collected there, so that's something for me to explore a little further. I'll put a big star by that. The pet licensing count, we're pretty much in line with last year, both in the city and in the county.
It looks like it's way up.
Very little.
So these are just last 2018 compared to 2019 years.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we're working on a 10-year summary right now. It shows the numbers for the past 10 years, including 2019. So that's, we're still putting that together. And the fees collected are fairly comparable there too.
Now, traditionally, when we historically had numbers, we had them like on a quarterly basis too. So it wasn't just on a year summary. Mm-hmm. We had like
monthly.
Yes,
every month. Mm-hmm.
Monthly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this something that we will be seeing next quarter, where we'll have the monthly or quarter numbers?
I will try. It all depends on resourcing, and I have not been fully staffed and fully trained since they haven't been fully staffed and fully trained since June of 2018. So it's been very challenging.
Well, this is your third dispatcher in 2 years. So that
true.
That does present a challenge for you.
True. Mm-hmm.
So when I look at this, I see a big difference in 19 and 18 on licensing. The number jumps in the city. Well, that's responses. Well, and or requests for service, either one. But so that's not when it says licensing. That's not licensing. Licensing, that's not the number of licensing, the number of licenses as is on the bottom. Are those two separate things? They're two completely different things. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yep.
This, the licensing request for service, and
that's license violations.
Okay, right. So that's a completely different thing. That's what I, that's what
correct.
I'm clearing.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
I thought so.
That is an officer noting that an animal they've contacted out in the field does not have a license, so they've noted it as a violation.
So how many licenses have
that's
is that
the
on here?
Bottom. The bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, here.
Do they have licenses?
Yeah. I need to still get
but
that.
But if they...
Sorry.
If they saw that many more license violations, there should be more on the bottom as well then. In theory, wouldn't there?
I'm sorry. Say or,
okay. So the number here, say City of Vancouver, it went from 295 in 18 to 714 in 19. But the difference is very close if you look at the same at the numbers on the bottom for the city, for cat and dog both. There's not a significant difference like there is up here. So does that mean that the people that are being contacted are not following through in licensing?
It's a possibility... I haven't done a deep dive into the details of the individual licenses sold.
So does this mean if the number is here, does that mean they were cited for not having a license?
Or not necessarily.
Or they could have just been talked to?
Correct.
Okay, but they obviously they're not all licensing, or these numbers at the bottom would show more of an increase, I would think.
Well, but Susan did point out that you have an inquiry about why some of the penalties haven't been collected. So it looks like there just is a little bit of research
here.
Well,
that's what I'm saying, that not everybody's paying.
I think what you're saying is that every person
that
was noted here as paying licensing violation
actually
got a license.
Exactly.
That the license is sold at the bottom should be higher.
Should be higher.
One point of clarification would be if somebody already has an existing license and it's just a renewal, would that actually change the count? And that's some, I would, it may not change the count, it would just be a penalty pay, correct? So you might not see the license number as I'm understanding it, increase, they would just be paying a penalty to get this license up to date in theory.
Well, because they had it in the past and
we just
let
more
it lapse.
Information,
something else
I think
to consider is that the officers weren't necessarily issuing tickets for every violation because
okay.
we didn't have the office resources to process.
So these are just licensing related.
Okay.
They're just licensing related.
Okay.
Right.
Whatever that means.
Okay.
Yes. Collecting the fines is also potentially a product of not having office resources to go after the
when
fine
you
collection.
Do have an enforcement ticket and people don't pay it, does it work like the court system where it goes into collections, or are you self-contained with that?
We manually send out letters to the pet owner at the last known address. We get a lot of mail returned. We get a lot of tickets that we issue by certified mail returned. We do have the ability, and the county does contract with the collections agency,
mm-hmm.
so we can, after we don't get any response from a pet owner, we can send them to collections, yes. Again, that takes people to manually make that happen, and we have not had that.
Okay, so you have the ability to do it, but you have not been doing it.
We have the contract with the collections agency.
You just haven't been doing that because of staffing?
Correct.
Okay. Not that they pay when they're in collections either, but.
It's very hard, in my view, to look at 2018 to 2019 without having the quarterly numbers as we go throughout the year. And that's something that this board has repeatedly asked for. We haven't shown up to a meeting and had quarterly numbers since Paul left, updated quarterly numbers since Paul left, and we've asked for them and asked what those barriers have been, and we've been told things like it's a computer issue, it's a staffing issue, and you know I was tasked with, you know, and said that I would work with Susan this quarter to try and get those quarterly numbers to us, not just the year-end numbers, but the quarterly numbers to us 2 weeks in advance. And Pat and I met with Susan in advance, and were told that the person who knew how to print out those numbers had quit. And so I feel like that there are barriers that Susan is coming up against to getting us those numbers that we need to do our roles that the county councilors have laid out for us in our bylaws. And she shouldn't have those barriers. And we should be assisting in any way we can. So I guess I'm wondering, at what point does this board come together collectively and say, you know, with our collective voice to the county councilors and say that there's this barrier that the animal protection and control staff are coming up against and that are impeding their ability to bring the numbers so that we can do the task that the county councilors have asked us to do. Because we haven't been able to track these numbers in nearly 2 years. So I'm not asking for a motion. I'm not going to bring a motion tonight, but that is something that a discussion that I wanted to bring up to this board and mention that I'm, at what point do we use our board's collective voice and say that your numbers are great, but at what point are we not having those numbers on a quarterly basis is not helpful and not allowing us to track the numbers that we're being asked to track. So that's in. So.
We can just hope when you get an office assistant that will make a big difference and things will get back on track more.
It will certainly be helpful.
Once that person's trained, fully trained.
I do. Just one really quick question. It looks like cat licenses increased by 3%, and I know we've had a conversation about how difficult it is, and I wondered if it was just because of the number of cats coming in through you guys because you license, and if that's kind of where that flux increase happened.
I'm done with updates, so.
Sorry.
Lisa, it's all you.
I would say it's the cat licensing is primarily a function of cat adoptions, not necessarily redemption. So it's the number of cats that are adopted to households in Clark County.
Yeah. Okay, exactly. Coming from the, okay, thank you.
Yeah, because it's about half our overall adoptions, which...
So you're the 3%, or a little bit more, but you're the uptick probably of the increase in licenses.
It's hard for me to say that with full confidence because I obviously I don't know, but certainly the number of cat licenses correlates pretty strongly with the number of cat adoptions that we do on an annual basis. So
I just didn't know if there was something going on also that was contributing. That was like
I doubt it. Okay. And that's historical for as many years as I can. You know, remember, it's hard to really convince people to license their cats. Right. Really hard.
So. Okay. Thank you. Do you have a report?
I did have a report. And I'm really embarrassed to say that I seem to have walked out of my office in a panic.
And left it on your desk.
Left it on my desk. So I was quickly going through my handy-dandy database to run up some numbers to show you because I had a really nicely done report to bring tonight, and I can email it all to you after. But essentially, we ended the year, you know, pretty strong. We had an intake of almost 7,280 animals, just as what we call live intake. So if you add in all of the euthanasia requests and the DOAs that we process, it's just over 8,000 animals. So that's pretty in alignment with what we took in last year, although there was a fairly significant increase in stray cats and stray dogs this year, about 9% in both areas. And so we believe it's probably a function of animal control officers being, you know, more fully staffed this year than they were the prior year. Because in 2018, the number of animals that animal control brought to us was, you know, decreased fairly significantly for obvious reasons. And even though it's 9%, when it comes to actual numbers, you know, we're talking an extra like 200 animals. It's not, you know, thousands of animals. So at the same time, in both Clark County and the City of Vancouver, the redemption rate for dogs was around 55% for both the city and the county. Overall, we did 5,173 adoptions of dogs, cats, and rabbits, slightly down from last year, or 2018, which we hit 5,200 adoptions. The county, both the county and the city, brought in stray animals of almost the same, just over 2,000 animals a year. I think they were almost neck and neck last year. Sometimes the city brings a little more, sometimes the county brings a little more. We spayed and neutered over 4,000 cats, dogs, and rabbits as well this year. And we returned to the field 174 cats through our shelter neuter return program. So that's the largest number of cats that we have returned.
This is the
feral cats.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Since we started the program about 2 years ago.
What was that number last year?
It was 120-something last year, so we upped it fairly significantly this year.
Is that because of your you increased your veterinary capacity?
No. It really is a function of their feral cats that we
really can't place through an adoption program. So if they're stray and they're otherwise healthy, then we just spay and neuter them and put them back.
It had nothing to do with, like, increasing the clinic or anything like that?
No.
Okay. More brought in.
It's just more brought in.
Yeah, more were brought in. Yeah. We did, right. So there were more stray cats that came in. A lot of them, you know, we also, because we had so many disease issues this year, we had a lot of capacity issues, and so we were more likely to say, you know, okay, let's put this one back instead of, you know, turning it into a barn cat, because we also have a barn cat program. Just because we had so many cats waiting for barn cat placements. So there were, you know, sometimes that was the reason. But no, we did increase our veterinary capacity, and we increased our surgery capacity. But we did that because we're offering surgeries to other shelters. West Columbia Gorge is funneling all their surgeries through us, and we did about 340 surgeries for West Columbia Gorge last year. So. And about 900, just under 900 cats through the Spay and Save program, which is a public spay and neuter program. And the rest were all shelter animals. So.
Congratulations.
And we brought in 1,630 animals through our transport program. So those dogs and about almost 200 cats came in for our adoption program.
And that's counted in the 7,000?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Correct. Yeah, so overall a pretty good year. We had a live release rate for dogs of 96.7% and a calling it a life-saving rate for cats of 91.2%. So overall rate of 94% for both dogs and cats this year. So despite, you know, a lot of issues with disease outbreaks and different overcrowding in the shelter and lots of staff turnover this past year, we still ended the year pretty well. So
that's great.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
thank you.
Sounds good.
And we just finalized our contract the other night with the county. So we're into a five-year contract with the county.
Could you email that contract to all of
I
the
just
board
got
members?
The signed
yeah,
copy
just literally
today.
Just today. Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
And we also signed, or are about to sign, a contract with the City of Washougal and Camas we're working with West Columbia Gorge on that stray contract for Camas and Washougal. So West Columbia Gorge is still going to be running the shelter that they have now, but we're kind of working with them and subcontracting with them. So
you're just going to be doing all their medical? They're just going to be doing adoptions pretty much
Well,
then,
they're
or?
Taking in the stray dogs from the City of Camas and
Washougal.
And then they have their cat program as well, which is a totally separate thing. But they do adoptions as well. So, yeah, we're just doing medical. They're spay and neuters and some of their medical stuff. But for the most part, they also work with a vet who is there part-time. So, yeah. So we're just finalizing a lot of contracts with Battleground. We signed a new contract. Ridgefield, Le Centre as well. So kind of getting all of our ducks in a row for all of the jurisdictions because There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there are. It doesn't seem like it because it seems like such a small community.
Yeah, but
really when you start branching out all those little, there's lots of little areas.
Yes.
So are you going to have anything to do with ALNA?
We are, actually, but through the county.
Oh, that's going to be through their program.
Yeah,
okay.
We don't have a separate contract with the Cowlitz Tribe, but as part of our contract, we will now take in dogs that Animal Control brings us that came from ALNA.
Okay.
So that's a new thing this year, so it's a good thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Things are going well.
Good. Well, we talked on the phone, next
yes,
agenda item, or on the next report item, is, oh no, that's the pet licensing subcommittee is next. I'm sorry, I can't, the print is so small, I'm having a hard time reading it. The pet licensing subcommittee,
I
that would be
report.
Charlena.
Didn't eat.
And
I don't have a report.
She has no report.
Nothing needs to report at the time.
Okay. And when you you'll have to let Susan know when you want to schedule another meeting.
I think Susan was going to schedule all of us together and the last time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that can
But I think we've got somebody, I don't know if Anne's out of.
Yeah, I can't keep on track. Okay. All right. Well, so now we're back to special orders. I tried to go to before, but I was in the wrong place. So. Okay. So special orders. We don't have any special orders because it's a new thing on our agenda. But special orders are set aside for future things, and it's a category of the agenda that is going to allow us to specify a certain time for considering a specific subject, and it would give it absolute priority for that subject. And it requires a two-third majority vote to make anything a special order. So okay. That's part of Robert and his set of rules.
Got it. All right.
So that's where that's why we have that in here now.
Excellent.
So and that's why we have nothing there. But by the time we get done, maybe we will have something there next time. So
does that have to be like voted on prior to it going on the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So it. As this meeting carries on,
okay.
Should there be something that we
that
say,
we want to talk about.
Oh, that should be in special orders for the next meeting, then somebody will motion and second, and then it will become
okay.
a special order item
on the next agenda.
Or we could say we want it on, you know, agenda for two agendas out.
Yeah, I mean, not okay. just maybe the next one, but
right.
we're ongoing,
Makes
you know.
Sense.
I mean,
okay.
but
and,
that's...
And that they, there's a
okay.
reason that special orders comes before unfinished business and new business
okay.
because it's special. It's the first thing we get to.
Special.
Because it's
right.
important. It's really important.
I like it.
Yes. Okay.
Unfinished business.
So, unfinished business. And that would be the code updates, the handout that Susan sent. Has everybody read through all those handouts? And does it make sense to everyone that is here?
The track changes?
The 13 pages of... I want to make sure everyone has actually read through it. It makes sense to everyone.
Yes,
that would be the one.
Yes.
That it makes sense to everyone. You understand what is written, what is being asked of you. You know that last time we spent hours making all these changes. Are these the changes we made? Are you comfortable with everything that's there? I guess that's my question.
I am not comfortable with this packet, and I'm not prepared to vote on it as it's presented tonight. This packet includes many of the Title VIII changes that we passed last quarter, but haven't been pushed forward to council. So by my count, five of the items that we passed last quarter have been changed, some a little bit, some a lot. Nothing is labeled in this packet that we've been given. And 14 things are brand, at least 14 things are brand new changes being proposed. Since nothing is clearly labeled, it's very hard to know what is the work that we've already completed and what is the work that staff is requesting an amendment to the amendment and what is the work that they are requesting new motions for. And so this feels somewhat disrespectful to the time and effort that this volunteer citizen board spent hours last quarter, staying here until 11 o'clock, pushing for changes that they said were ready but weren't, obviously. And so this packet, as it's presented today, I feel like the information is not separated out in a way that we feel like we know what's already done, what needs to be done, or the ultimate implications of the choices that are laid before us tonight. So I believe we should send the packet back to be rewritten and reformatted in a way that's more clear, so that, and potentially have it compared to the record from last quarter. Because
I did read it, and I do agree. I wasn't sure what we had passed away, so I wasn't sure. Did we do that? Did we say that? So that was a concern I had, and I'm... So I understand what you're saying, and I agree with that.
Tabitha, your comments?
I totally agree. Yes, in comparison, this packet is huge in comparison to what we talked about the last meeting. So I agree. I did read through it. I was not 100% sure what I was even supposed to do here. So
yeah.
I'm with you. I agree with you.
So I would bring a motion to send this packet back to staff for a rewrite and a reorganization. And one that lays out maybe in two colors, both, you know, what did we do in October clearly, and if need be, compare it to the recorded record of what we said, and what they want, you know, so that where there are changes to what we've passed and they want to rewrite that again, maybe put those in two colors so that we're not redoing motions to motions we already passed. It needs to definitely be reorganized and much, much more clear. So I move to send this back to staff for a rewrite.
And if there are any changes, can we request that there just be an explanation of why the change is requested? If it's an additional.
Okay. If there's something new, then why is that new thing being brought forward? If it's an amendment to an amendment, why is something that we already passed that hasn't been pushed forward being asked to be changed?
That makes sense.
What was insufficient about what we changed? And
okay.
If we passed it, why hasn't been push forward. So, as a whole, I think this whole packet should be not passed and push back to staff for a rewrite. So, I move to send it back to staff for a rewrite.
I second that.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I have motion passed. I was confused as well when I read it. Mm-hmm. So, well, that. Take care of that. So next, I'm going to get in the correct place here. Unfinished business would be turning it back to you, Susan, so you can talk about the board vacancies and the posting on those.
Just noting that we should be able to get those posted in February. And I was going to get input on how long you think we should leave the posting open for applications.
I would.
The veterinarian is likely the most difficult.
Most difficult, yeah. That's going to be the one that's probably going to have to be.
Yeah,
you're going to have to probably leave that open for a couple of months to get one person. Uh-huh. Maybe two. That
so
would be 60 nice.
60 days to leave the postings open?
Well, if you post the first part of February. Mm-hmm. And if we could interview by the mm-hmm. end of March, even the 1st of April, we would have somebody on board for the next meeting.
Okay.
So as long as we could have people to interview by the first part of April, I would say that would be reasonable.
So 60 days encompasses, I think that's the appropriate amount. I think that works.
Yeah, I think that's probably time to make sure that you have some good applicants and not just applicants.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the question. Sometimes we don't leave it open that long.
No, we don't. Mm-hmm. But we can.
So there's no requirement to leave it open
there,
that long.
Is there any requirement that you're aware of?
When we have an incumbent, we're opening and closing it, and now you're saying to open it and leave it open?
Well, we don't have anybody we want to bring on, so.
Yeah, we have to have it open
to get
people.
Sure.
You can't just close it if nobody, and then nobody's applied, then you're just going to have to reopen it.
When there's no one that's showing expense interest right now, mm-hmm. probably is reasonable.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And then either we'll
yeah.
have.
Well, we can start with, you can always extend it.
Yeah.
And open it
30
also,
days.
So you can start with less time and extend it out.
Yeah,
that's true too.
It seems like we should have a more consistent opening and then extend it rather than do a short one for.
I end up having to.
No, why don't we just do 60 days and then try to just, if there's people that pop up, just try to tell them, listen, you know, get in quickly so we can get through the process. But other than posting and reposting, just doing, I don't see the point in that.
Okay.
Well, when you post and repost, then I think that's sending a message to people that nobody applied.
Well, there's that too. So I think, you know, 60 days, can we all agree 60 days and just...
I think the posting link that is ultimately up to Susan.
You recommended 60 days, so yes.
I think that's
well,
in her purview.
Well, given the veterinarian need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that, well, that's the problem one. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The member at large is not going to be so much of an issue. There's a large group
that's
to draw from.
Yeah.
Do we know what's going on with Kyle? What he officially decided to do? Because I thought the last time we talked, they were getting a dog, and he was considering...
Yeah, I think he was kind of on the fence.
I haven't heard from him about it since.
Could we make sure to email him and just let him know when we've opened that? Just to let him know?
Sure.
So that he's not caught in the lurch?
Okay.
Should he want to stay on the board?
Well, that's a very good idea.
He could apply for the at-large position and then vacate the position that he has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so he's not caught off guard. Very good idea, Tabitha. Thanks. That's a good catch.
Okay. Well, hopefully we will get some great applicants. That would be awesome.
Would you, when you post those, can you email that posting to us and then maybe...
Yes, she does.
Do you?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And do we know why it's difficult to find veterinarians? I'm
that's
just wondering if it's
question.
A...
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many reasons would you want?
Well, I'm just wondering because, you know, I could talk to my veterinarian. That's the only reason I was asking.
Why?
So, yeah. Okay.
I'd love it.
Yeah.
So I would encourage you, if you would like to, let people know that these openings are coming up.
Sometimes people just don't know they're there.
Right.
They don't see them
right.
because they're busy with their other things that they're doing. And sometimes they just, as a veterinarian, if they're working lots of hours, they can't commit to this time slot on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. It becomes problematic with their practice, especially if they own their practice, or if they can't control their schedule with who they work for. So that
and sometimes it's that they don't want to do something in their off time that's animal related,
right?
because they do that all day long.
Yeah,
so.
They've already spent 50 hours
exactly.
a week, and they don't want to come talk about veterinarian stuff at night. So. It just takes the right person.
It does. And I'm sure we'll find one. It's just going to take a little while.
It's just not, it's a, you know, a smaller group to choose from.
Yes, exactly.
And do we lean more towards the experienced versus the inexperienced that may be in an experienced practice?
Like
recent college grads, for example.
If they're a licensed veterinarian.
If they're a licensed veterinarian.
We don't care if they're a licensed veterinarian, that's all that counts.
Okay. It just seems like they would be more eager.
Yeah, if they've only been out of school for
that's
a year
a
and they're working for somebody else, great. Mm-hmm. If they have their own practice and they've been running it for 40 years, great. Mm-hmm. Anything in between, great. We don't care.
Okay. Perfect.
Just as long as you're licensed in Clark County.
Okay.
And you live in Clark County. That's all we care about.
Yes, and all the information is posted on the web page all the time. The application is always there. Anytime anybody wants to look at it, we're just not always accepting applications. But it's always there, available for people to look at.
Good ad. Okay.
Okay. So moving on, we're moving on to new business. So, the first thing I listed under new business is required training for board members. And it has come to light that there is some required training through the
Open
government training. I had the right words in the wrong order there. The open government training. And it's actually pretty simple stuff. It's you can do it on most of it. You can do online. So Ariel and I have already completed that. We know that we were supposed to do that, it's fairly recent. So it's not like we've been really bad. It's just it's only been a few years ago that all this was, we were supposed to start doing this. So it's something that is fairly new. Mm-hmm. I think Susan is pulling something up as we speak. Yes?
Oh, actually, I was going to log out. Sorry.
Oh.
I didn't want to leave the building without being logged out.
Oh, well, I was going to ask you if you would like to come and add to this conversation about the training and your part of making sure that we have it all completed correctly.
Is it just a link that you need to send us?
We will let Susan fill this in because this is really an agency thing. Okay. Not this is not a chair and co-chair thing or a board thing.
Is it something that it's, we just need to get emailed or?
Well,
we need
there's
to
a link to go to.
Okay, well,
to do it
fine.
Online.
I mean,
yeah.
But do we?
But it's supposed to be coming from the county.
Okay.
It's
so
not supposed to be coming.
We've given you a lot of information about it. But we'll let Susan.
As a board, we're not. I'm not supposed to be telling you. You have to do this.
Oh.
This is really the county that should
be telling us that we have to do
so
this.
So we'll let Susan take over.
Yeah. So Susan can tell us we have to do this. Right, Susan?
I will be sending out additional information in the very near future with links, and it'll be very easy squeezy for everybody.
Okay.
So stay tuned.
Okay. And then once we have done the online part, they're supposed to be, you're supposed to, like, check off. There's supposed to be some in-person thing that you're supposed to check off. So how is that working? I'm not quite clear on that.
I will be getting more information out at a later date.
Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. You don't have that information tonight.
I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, we will stay tuned for that information. And I think Ariel gave you some stuff in your envelope there. And I think she gave you a handout that has the link that you can go on and you can...
There is a packet full of information
in
your packet that I have printed out for you.
And that's just more like where to go.
From the Attorney General's office.
But it's that follow-up part that I'm not really clear on how that's supposed to work. So
including the certificate once you've completed all of the training.
We will all learn together.
Okay.
It's really helpful.
It's a learning curve for all of us.
And
it's really simple stuff.
Okay. But it's really an agency thing. It doesn't come from us, and the packet will explain all of that.
I wish I could read this small. Okay, next on the agenda is the 5-year comprehensive plan. And it says in our bylaws, which we are reading more carefully now, it says that the advisory board shall assist with the development of a 5-year comprehensive plan for the Animal Protection and Control Program. And this goal is to establish a timeline for creating a 5-year comprehensive plan and a process for creating such a plan. So, sorry, Susan, but again, I have to throw the ball back at you because it says we're supposed to assist you, so we need to know how you're doing a plan and what we need to do to assist you so that we can comply with the bylaws. I mean, we can't go just make up a plan, so we need to work with you, but we need to know what your plan is so that and how you want us to assist you. And this is something that I think would be ongoing. I mean, this is not going to be a 1-2 meeting thing. This is going to be like an ongoing thing down the road that, you know, that we will have on the agenda repeatedly.
So,
I don't know if you have any thoughts on that to share tonight or...
Not really. I have not had a chance to get started on a 5-year comprehensive plan. I'm still playing catch-up from 2018, 2019. I'll hopefully get a chance to put my 2020 plan together here the next few weeks. We're up to our eyeballs in accounts receivable and accounts payable and trying to get all of our licensing revenue accounted for 2019. And so it's just, I have 100 things I'm having to prioritize and they're rotating on a continuous hourly basis. And anything proactive has not really been on the table at this point.
Okay.
So this is a very proactive.
Yeah, and this is going to be a lot of work for you.
The former manager didn't do a 5-year comprehensive plan, I don't believe.
No.
So I'm not sure how far back I'm going to have to dig to find some kind of example of an animal control 5-year plan.
Ever.
Well,
so It's in. I'm sorry. I don't know what else to say. I don't have anything in the immediate future.
And that's
planned
fine.
For that.
And I don't know if this was ever done by the board in the past
because it's not in my 13 years that I've been here. Not in my time either.
But
I'm saying it's right.
And it has
not
been.
It makes me happy.
And it is on the bylaws. The only other thing, and it would be something maybe coming. I don't know where it would come from, but we can amend the bylaws to not do it if it's if that is something that I don't know why it was put in there in the beginning if it was never ever done.
But I remember at one point, just after Paul came on board, the county did a multi-year strategic plan.
Okay.
And I remember seeing different pieces of that that Paul brought to us because they had a nice poster done up. You probably have posters sitting around somewhere. Community development, you know, in general. So it's possible that it was kind of part of that process.
Well, the bylaws were written before that.
No, I know, but I guess what I mean is it's possible that the county used to do periodically a strategic planning process every 5 years, 10 years, or whatever it is. I don't know.
Do you know, either one of you two, Ashley, know when the advisory board was formed, what year that was, and when these bylaws were written, what year?
I don't.
Keep talking, and I'll look through my code book and
see. Can we open this up for discussion?
Sir, anybody have any comments?
I guess I personally feel like getting rid of the five-year plan, if we can make one with Susan, helps to assist in setting a mutual goal and direction for animal protection and control.
I'm not disagreeing with that.
By removing the comprehensive plan or by adjusting the bylaws to remove that plan, it would set an organization that has, for lack of a better term, sort of lacked some guidance. It would be continuing to, we've had manager changes and we've had staffing issues. Creating a comprehensive plan right now would help to, I think, hone our focus as a whole. And set priorities when we're struggling to set what is our focus and what is our priorities as this small agency now. And so I think the five-year comprehensive plan, while it's future think, it is important future think. And I think it is in some ways the most important future think. And so I think it is something that our board, working with Susan, should be prioritizing as an important strategic plan so that we can work together, both aligning what this board's goals are with her goals, because no doubt Susan has one set of goals, but this board has expressed goals of increasing licensing and public outreach, both for our board and education, and it would be nice to align, and this is where the comprehensive plan aligns those two goals together so that our board and the manager, the animal control and protection manager, align. And so I think it is important that we do this comprehensive plan and that we potentially prioritize this conversation, maybe as a special order for the next few meetings, so that's a discussion that we can have both between the board and Susan for the next few meetings, so that we can come together and start building that in these meetings moving forward. I think it's just too important to sideline.
I would just say that I agree completely that it's an important thing to do. There's nothing to prevent the board from doing it, regardless of whether or not it's in the bylaws. So, and sometimes the bylaws have a tendency to be
overly restrictive. And so I don't see any reason why we can't do a plan.
And it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be anything
formal.
Too,
thing.
Yeah, it can
that's
be.
What I mean.
Yeah, it can be more on the informal side.
I would just also
side.
Like to add that I think that general business planning 5 years out in the kind of, I mean, these are probably written some time ago.
Yes.
I think that that is really not advisable.
Right now,
2 to 3 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's about as far as somebody can really realistically plan and see. Business-wise and organizational-wise, and then continue to adapt versus having what maybe 20 years ago sounded like five-year plans were the rage.
Well, that's why I was wondering when
that's
these were written.
Even still, though, I think it's in response to what is actually practical, you know, right now with where animal control is at as well. So.
Yeah, I think that certainly there's a lot of opportunities to, you know, make a larger plan. 5 years does seem to be pretty, especially considering just, we don't even make 5-year plans in our business. We do 3-year plans.
Yeah.
So, and even the 3-year plans tend to be completely and totally rewritten by the time we get the second year. Because so much changes in our, and usually it coincides with the budget year, so we do business plans based on what we have going on in the budget. So,
and if these bylaws were written before all the technology that we have now, it was that makes a big difference in what happens. And technology is going to continue to keep changing everything, so that I see your point that it's. You don't know, maybe in 5 years, what we can't do now will be, you know, will be available next year, but maybe not.
I'm fully supportive of the planning process as that can happen, but I'm thinking we're saying, you know, the bylaws, we don't necessarily have to be accountable to this language right now.
Well, no, we can,
because it doesn't exist. Okay.
Well, we have, I think we have several options. Somebody can make a motion for whatever. There would be the possibility, I'm just throwing out an idea, there would be the possibility to change the bylaw to say 3-year instead of 5-year. Still do the plan.
I would almost rather just say a plan.
A plan.
Versus than time frames. Because I just think that the time frames don't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's what realistically works for the organization and for us as an advisory board and the county and city at large.
The way it's written, where it says development of a 5-year comprehensive plan for the animal protection and control program. I think it's very, very difficult for this board to make a plan for the animal control program.
Yeah, we can't do that.
We don't have control over any of it. So
I would see it more as if you have a plan and there's barriers or issues or support the advisory can raise the flag on. That's kind of what I was seeing as assistant versus actually sitting down.
That's why the word assist is
planning.
So it's Susan's plan. It's not our plan. We just need
that's
to
a good
know.
Point, and that's why I think it actually
that's the whole
came
point.
From,
it needs, it needs to be. Yeah, it needs.
Language.
It needs to be her plan, but we just need
to assist.
To assist in doing something to help.
Yeah,
I think
with your plan.
One of the things that I'm hearing that is a concern for me is that the continuative of trying to catch up and get to a point where she can fulfill these sort of written down requirements, and then we assist. I mean, if we need to get come together and figure out what. Flags need to be raised. What voice do we need to bring forward on certain issues to remove barriers? I'm all for that because I don't want to keep continuing to have barriers where, you know, we can't do those longer term, bigger projects. So, I don't have the history of the board, so I don't know what was before, but that's kind of where I'm at.
The board has been evolving over many years.
Exactly.
And it's changed enormously in the last 10 years. So.
Yes.
So, amending the bylaws isn't something that can just happen.
No,
and I don't think we need to.
I think amending
about that right
amending
now.
The bylaws has to happen with a 2/3 majority of votes, and it has. It is not something that just happens with a motion. It has to happen with 10 days prior notice, and
To be honest, I'm actually not comfortable. I am actually not comfortable with amending our bylaws to go from 5-year comprehensive to just to say a plan.
Well, I don't think we need to change it at all right now. I think
I would be far more comfortable with just personally moving this conversation because we are such a, up until literally moments ago when Kyle just showed up, welcome. No problem. I think I would be much more comfortable with potentially a motion to move the conversation for the 5-year comprehensive plan to special orders for next quarter and to continue this conversation to next quarter so we can discuss, so that we can make sure that all of our board has had a chance to be a part of this conversation and discuss what is it, is the best approach amending the bylaws, is the best approach creating a plan.
Is it possible that this is maybe a bullet point in a conversation about barriers? Because that's where we started mm-hmm. this meeting, and that's what I feel like is continuing to come up, and I want to understand that better. So mm-hmm. how do we support?
Sure.
You know, if saying, hey, you know, something needs to be done to help remove those.
Right.
And this planning process is just one of a few things that seem to be mm-hmm. a barrier or an issue. So,
what would help you?
Yeah.
A plan would definitely be helpful to start formulating a plan, because part of the planning process is to look at strengths and weaknesses of your organization, and that can tell you a lot about yourselves and what you need to be successful. So, you know, it would be definitely be helpful to start discussing and planning.
But I think that the likelihood of animal control developing a 5-year plan anytime between now and a year from now is very low. So the board has no way to assist the animal control program mm-hmm. with doing that, regardless of what the bylaws say. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's what I was going to suggest, possibly tabling this
yeah.
point
when
she needs
animal control,
when she needs that assistance, because
ready
right
to
now,
do that. Yes.
Yeah,
so
she's not prepared.
Yeah,
exactly. Do I hear a motion?
I would move to bring up the discussion of a 5-year comprehensive plan to special orders next quarter so we can discuss this again with Susan and as a board. And further this discussion.
But I feel like there's things, and Susan says, I feel like there's things that are pressing on your team where a plan can't happen because there's things pressing. And I'm curious about, is there any way this board can help in that? And I don't know what those are, and I kind of would rather, if I'm going to spend 15 minutes, be able to understand those, so then I can go, okay, here's emotion, here's language, does that make sense? And where the plan, I'm totally for the having the planning, but that if we can get at the issue that's preventing the planning from happening, that's what I want to understand better. Mm-hmm. I just want a place where I can understand that better on the agenda.
Sure.
And if the planning is a part of that, fantastic, but I don't really understand all the things that are in the way, like you were talking about at the very beginning of the meeting. That's what I'm really very much
which
for.
Is personally why I'd like to discuss this again
okay, yes.
with the board. I mean, it doesn't mean we're actually creating a plan. I just think we should
yeah.
have the opportunity to discuss it again.
Yeah, I think I'm just
quarter.
Specifically asking for language that opens it to a broader, like, barriers, including the planning, you know, like the things that are preventing the planning and other things like that from happening. Like
sure.
talking about, just
what's preventing the
yeah.
ability to create
that's
a plan?
That's the special order.
We would like to create a comprehensive plan with you. What are the barriers that are in place?
Something like that. Yeah.
You know?
To clarify, you would like animal control to create a plan
yes.
and that this board to assist
and
with a plan. And so what's preventing
And right
that?
Now there are things preventing
right.
planning from happening,
okay.
and that's what I want to understand
right.
better.
So the topic would be the 5-year comprehensive plan. Barriers
abilities, assisting?
Well, the barriers are the things preventing you from getting the quarterly numbers. So that I felt like that was like a line item of barriers to like getting the data, barriers to the planning, barriers, and just have that be, and then we can talk about these various things that are preventing us from getting our quarterly data, the planning process from happening. That's what I was saying.
You would like just a conversation about barriers.
Yeah, because I don't actually understand what they are. So I don't know how to...
Well, right now it just seems like a staffing issue, right? Like everybody's catching up.
But the FTEs are full except for one, so is that going to be enough? And I think that's what you were saying. Is that enough? Is there something else that needs to be done?
This is a really interesting discussion, but we're not going to get anywhere with it right now. So we need a motion to move this to the next meeting so that we can have another discussion. So we need a motion that everybody can agree on that someone will second so we can move forward, because right now we're just going in a circle.
No, I understand.
The topic at hand is the 5-year comprehensive plan.
I thought the topic was barriers.
Yes.
And
the agenda item that we're discussing is 5-year comprehensive plan.
And so you want to move that forward? I'm for that. Of moving that forward into a barrier
special order.
Special order conversation.
Is 3 months enough for you to have enough to discuss this again in 3 months? Or would 6 months be better?
That is a good question. The way things are going.
I understand the reason to continuously bring it up so it doesn't fall to the wayside. However, this is kind of revolving around her. We are there to assist her, and if she doesn't have the time, then we should give her more time, right?
Sure.
I think I could probably come up with a reasonable idea of what the barriers are that I would be able to share.
Okay. That would be great.
And for the next meeting?
For the next meeting.
Okay. Perfect. Would you like to...
For the plan or barriers to... We're talking about the plan, the 5-year comprehensive plan.
Creating the plan. What obstacles are you facing in creating the plan?
And she is talking... She's saying... She can talk about what her barriers are to getting the plan created.
Okay.
Not creating the plan, but what her problems, the barriers are in creating the plan.
Okay.
But no.
Sure.
So.
Because, like, what we're after here is to find out if she just doesn't have the time, right? You're looking to see if we might be able to assist in collecting these numbers. Is that what... Right, the end goal is, you're saying...
Right, I mean, it's definitely important to have this plan and have it move forward. It's a requirement, and I completely support that and understand that. And there's a reality that there's things in the way that it can't happen, and I just want to get to that reality so we can make this happen.
Yep.
That's all I'm saying. So...
And so I'll... Whatever the conversation is, my only thought is whether we're discussing the barriers... Or whether or not we're discussing the creating of the plan, I'm just saying as a line title item.
Move it forward.
I would like to move this line title item to special orders next quarter.
Yes. Okay, that's fine. We understand it's going to have barriers. That's what Lisa was saying, that it's mm-hmm. the barriers to the plan is what's the special order topic for next time. So people that weren't here will understand what we're getting ready to talk about.
What we're hearing is that Susan is saying, I have barriers. I'm unable to complete a plan.
Yes.
And so we would like to hear from Susan what those barriers are next quarter.
Yes, thank you.
And so... I'm going to move to make a motion that this line item of 5-year comprehensive plan is pushed to special orders next, at our next quarterly meeting.
I second that.
Okay. The motion has been...
All in favor.
Yeah, well, I was going to say that. That was what I was going to say.
Okay.
The motion was seconded. Now, who's in favor?
All in favor?
All in favor.
Aye. That's 2/3 majority. That puts us into special orders. So we'll have this as a line item. We'll discuss barriers next quarter.
Okay.
wonderful.
And we will eventually, we will get somewhere with this.
Cool. We got there.
Well,
okay.
We are.
It's just going to take time. Okay. Next is summer outreach opportunities. And Lisa, I spoke with you on the phone a couple weeks ago about the possibility of teaming up with the shelter, if there were what opportunities, and so have you been able to come up with any ideas?
Well, I came up with some feedback.
Okay, feedback is always good.
Yes. So when we spoke on the phone, I talked about a little bit about the fact that this kind of wasn't my area, so I had to kind of go back and get some information from people. And the reality is that we just don't do outreach activities any longer, not in the same way that other organizations, smaller organizations, do outreach opportunities.
Okay.
We obviously have the walk.
Right.
You know, and that's something that is will always be one of our big events and is always an opportunity for, tabling or outreach for other organizations. But other than that, we aren't out in the community with the exception of the Recycled Arts Fair, which is our thrift store activity. The thrift store has a booth where they make some, cool things out of recycled things, and so they have a booth. So that might be one opportunity, but we don't go to fairs. We don't go to any of the other summer things that kind of occur. And I was a little bit afraid that might be the case because the reason that we don't do it is there just isn't a lot of the return on investment, if you will, is just not there. We don't get donations, we don't get adoptions, we don't get, we get a lot of people who come up and say things like, oh, I adopted my dog from you.
Mm-hmm.
Great, but you're not the one we're trying to reach.
Right.
You know about us, you know we already exist. We're trying to reach people who don't know we exist or get, that kind of thing. So we used to do more things like the Dozer Days Fair and even the Clark County Fair and things like that. But in the past 3 years or so, we've kind of cut way, way back, and we aren't really doing anything except Recycled Arts this year.
Okay.
So.
And the walk.
Well, yes, but the walk is our big
right.
event that we put on ourselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, unfortunately, the idea of combining a booth or something like that is just not going to be
not
feasible.
Gonna happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
but see, now we know.
Yes.
You have to ask before you have the answer.
Absolutely.
And so now
Absolutely.
We know that that's not an option.
Yeah.
Does anyone else have any ideas for any outreach that they think would be reasonable for the board to do that would be worth our time?
Lisa, is there any thing that we could do along with the auction?
Well, like what?
I don't know.
So, yeah.
That is a
right. And yes, that definitely is, but it's at a winery. It's sitting at, it's the people who are going to that are
I guess it
already,
depends on what we would have.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is the purpose of this? What, what types of events that occur in the summer are things that you think would be interesting to go to? I mean, there was the farmer's market was
mm-hmm.
always the one
mm-hmm.
that we used to do. And so are there other places other than the farmer's market that you think it would be beneficial to have a presence there? I guess I would also just ask whether, what is the purpose of outreach? Are there other ways of doing outreach that might be more beneficial, like going to the dog park and setting up a licensing table there,
or
something like that? Because then you're going to be, at the place where
right.
people are.
Which would be great, except that we can't set up a licensing table because we can't license. There has to be. We have to have
you're
someone
handing out information.
Yeah, and that's just
people to the right place.
And that's not Yeah. That's like the farmer's market, and that it just it becomes frustrating because if you can't do it then, you've lost them.
Right.
You know, if you can get them right there,
right.
then you can license
so
them.
So we could potentially revisit the idea of forming a separate, you know, 501c3
we had that discussion before.
And being a licensing agent so that, you know, we could have representatives do selling licenses. You know, so that's something we could look into.
Would somebody that is a licensing agent, a grooming place or, you know, someone that is a licensing agent, is it would it be possible for them, for us to work with them and like sit at the dog park?
Yes.
You could get them to do it, and so like they hand out information about whatever their business is, and we license animals at the same time.
Yes. So if there was somebody who had, let's say, a dog daycare who was also a licensing agent.
Gee, I wonder who that could be.
And wanted to sign up as a licensing agent, then they have the capability of taking, you know, mobile payments.
Right, because that's what you have to have.
Fairly easy. Then, yes, absolutely. You could have somebody out there and have a table with information about the daycare and sell licenses at the same time. As long as they get processed through the licensing agent's, you know, process. Then, yeah, absolutely. So, that's not a bad idea.
Anyone else have any other ideas?
I was noticing on our, it's in the packets that I provided, you had given us your 2018-2019 list of things that you had accomplished of your to-do list, which I'm... and I think you were in there that you were in 2020 renegotiating licensing agents.
Recruiting new licensing agents.
And because you had given this to us, I made sure to give this information to the rest of the board, too, because I thought this was just so valuable for helping me to understand your priorities.
Well, yeah, it kind of made us realize that you were doing a lot of things that we didn't, that are not even on our radar.
As I gathered information, I made sure to put it into packets. And so, as we're looking at licensing agents, is that something that we could potentially try to find a licensing agent that provides easier mobile access so that we can
The licensing take agent payment. Is just an organization that sells licenses on behalf of the county. So
that wouldn't be a mobile payment option. That wouldn't be the like the red box. Taking the payment?
No.
Mobile payment.
Oh, the red box video. You
mean like the red box.
No,
in our contract.
The lock box.
The lock box.
Oh, okay.
Contract that we have that takes our payments on the website.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Retail lockbox processes the renewals.
Oh,
through our website. They don't do new licensing. They only do renewals?
Yeah,
we refer all the renewals to them.
That's separate.
Okay.
Am I understanding that correctly? That's separate.
Yeah.
So that's not the mobile licensing. Okay. Darn.
No.
I was hoping that would be connected.
An agent is just somebody, an organization, a business, or whatever. There are vets that are agents. There are daycares, there are pet stores, there are a variety of, there's the vehicle licensing.
I was wondering if she was recruiting someone, if she could recruit someone that would make it more.
They said we start to follow the process, the county process.
Got it.
So,
never mind.
There's still a process.
Again,
but a licensing agent can be processing it through their big computer at their facility, wherever it is. But they also, don't they have the option of doing it on their cell phone with a square and doing it the same thing? Can it be?
Has that ever been done?
Yes.
It has. Okay.
Yes.
Does it have to be through a special cell phone? It can go through their personal cell phone, and it because it's going
so
through someplace
all
else?
All it is so whoever the agent is collects the money. However they collect the money is up to them, as long as they're transmitting the money and accounting for it appropriately. As long as the accounting is done and as long as the transmittal is done back to the county,
okay.
It doesn't really matter how the money's collected.
Okay. So if they have a business cell phone, it could be done off a square on there at the dog park or
exactly.
wherever.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
That
exactly.
makes more sense.
Okay.
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay.
Here I was thinking we had to renegotiate a whole bunch of stuff.
Oh, no.
But that makes a lot more sense.
Yes.
Okay. And what does it take for someone to be a licensing agent? I mean, you're going to recruit new people, but what are the qualifications to be a licensing agent?
You sign this, and it's the so. And I don't want to make fun of it. It's actually there is quite a lot of paperwork and quite a lot of processes that you have to go through. But there's an agent agreement, so you have to be able to fulfill all of the qualifications of the agent agreement.
Yeah. The county has a signed agreement mm-hmm. with every agent. We're actually in the process of updating the agent manual.
But they have
right
to be
now.
A business or something.
Yeah. They have to be able to at least account for money and be
typically they're a place that there's going to be a reason that there are pet owners going there.
Yeah.
For
so they're usually a brick and mortar business.
They all are.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
But again, that's why taking advantage of, say, a daycare or another business, pet-related business.
A grooming place.
Something like that.
Daycare, a training facility.
Exactly.
The idea is to make it convenient so there are locations throughout the county that are convenient for folks to get pet licenses.
Yes.
We want to make it easy.
Uh-huh.
We wish we could make it easier.
The other thing that you could do without the license aspect, without the agent aspect, is if you had a phone or an iPad or something with a wireless signal, you could be out there at the dog park and you could direct somebody to the online licensing portal right then and there and say, hey, let me sell you the license, and you can sign them up there. The only thing is you wouldn't be able to give them the tag that would come in the mail. But at the very least, you would be able to facilitate them getting a license through the online portal.
That's a thought.
Yeah.
You would just need a tablet
and
a hotspot.
They would need a credit and a hotspot, yeah. And they would need a credit card.
And they would need a credit card.
Yeah.
And that would be doable without having to work with a licensing agent.
Yes.
Because
you're signing them up directly. So it really is just taking advantage of the fact that you've got somebody in front of you who didn't realize they had to license their dog,
mm-hmm.
and, oh, here, let me help you do that. Here you go. See right here where it says put your name in, put your dog's name in. Right here, give them the credit card, and then there you go.
Yeah, and all you have to do is just turn your back while they put the credit card in, and hopefully that's not when they run off with your iPad.
You hold the dog.
That's it.
Increasing licenses has obviously been a topic that comes up every board meeting, and it's something that's been a priority for this board repeatedly.
Right.
And the ability for this board to make licenses and the ability for officers to accept payment in the field, if possible, or for or the board members to be able to get involved outside in the community and pair both education with accepting licenses has been a priority for this board for as long as I've been on this board, and and having talked to Pat as long as she's been on this board, this has been
true.
Something that we have wanted.
As
we talk about a comprehensive plan, this might be something that we want to think about combining, because it is tagging and licensing animals is good for the animals. It helps bring those.
Yep.
Bring our furry friends home.
Mm-hmm.
It also reduces the cost of getting them home.
Mm-hmm.
I was sort of
sort of surprised having talked to Susan about some of the costs associated when an animal is found and they are not tagged, what it costs to get them back home, you know, some of those costs associated, you know, $50, $20 for a tag, but when they're not tagged, when they're not licensed, and they have to go to the Humane Society, and it's a lot of money on cost-wise. And so this has been something, and we really want to push forward both that piece of being able to go out to farmers markets, educate the importance of licensing, and pair that with being able to take license fees there if possible. And that inability has been a huge struggle, and as we talk about barriers, that's been something that's been very frustrating for this board.
You should have told us about this last year.
It's frustrating that's been unable to overcome. So it's something that I think as we, it's almost like these two are combined. These summer outreach programs are almost like public outreach.
Mm-hmm.
Public outreach almost combines in a sense with this 5-year comprehensive plan.
Well, that's why we suggested going to the dog parks, because that's going to be the biggest bang for your buck.
So, yeah. On a related note, we have lost a participant on the pet licensing subcommittee and a little bit of steam in that, and I feel like it needs to be revisited. Unfortunately, Anne's not here tonight. She chairs the subcommittee, but we do need to probably remold that a little bit, because we need to pick up some traction again and get some things moving forward. And I know we were kind of looking at the last time we met was about the technology and the software options and things like that, but there's just trying to get the subcommittee put back together, I think, would be a good idea.
I think that there will be an opportunity for this board to give their opinion about a very significant way that licensing can be increased soon. So
we look forward to that. Okay. I think we could sit here and talk about it all night.
But I really like your idea, and I'm thinking that maybe we might have a motion to bring that back for unfinished business, and maybe people could decide they wanted to go sit at the dog park.
You could put out a calendar just like with the farmer's market and have everybody sign up to take a shift at Saturdays or I don't know. There are certain times a day during the week that are also very busy at the dog park.
So. Is the Humane Society going to be at the dog? So who's going to be at the dog park? Thinking
I'm suggesting that the board goes to the dog park.
The board goes to the dog park, but it would be...
We're doing it through licensing them online.
Right. Right, like
but we would need a licensing...
No, not for that. We don't need a licensing
agent. Take an iPad and a hotspot.
Yeah.
But we need a licensing agent
to
be there.
No, we do not.
You just...
Because we're doing it online, so we don't need a licensing agent. We're not selling.
Who would give us the iPad?
We are not selling them a tag. There,
you're just taking your phone and you're going to the website and they're filling in the information and adding their credit card information. You've just facilitated it.
Yeah, you're just letting them use your device,
right,
to put their information in, and then we don't need a licensing agent.
On the online system, you're just bringing the awareness of this is the online. Let me help you get there.
Right.
Let me help you to
because
questions.
You just have to ask somebody who has a white spot.
If they say, "Oh, I'll go home and do that later," because you don't have anything, they're not going to go home and do it later. But this way, you've caught them and
right there,
and they're
and you have a device,
and you have the device, and they're much more likely to say,
"Okay,
I'll do it."
Sign the license right then and there. Maybe we can have some kind of a swag.
Yeah, there you go.
I love it.
That's a great idea. Poop bag holder.
Oh, I like it.
Okay. Do we have poop bag holders?
Right.
Seriously? Yeah, we do.
Conversation started.
We do. They're nice. They're cute.
Do we still have our tents? Or is that not a thing?
Animal control should have.
Yeah, we have all that. Mm-hmm.
How would we get a tent?
Somebody would have to pick it up.
Mm-hmm. There?
Yeah. I'm not sure where it's held, but I'm sure Carrie probably wonders.
And how often should we?
In our storage room or the
there's a tent and a table and
there's brochures. Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff.
There iPads? Well, is there an iPad?
No, there
maybe?
Is not. The county does the county have an iPad we could use?
I can check into it.
And then how are we approaching these people? How are we deciding who we're going to, because other than the license, are we going to be checking?
People will come up to you.
So we're expecting people to come up to us.
Yeah, or you could roam around and talk to people.
Park outside the gate. But I would also suggest getting in touch with the dog paw folks.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And not shocking them.
Right, no.
That's what I'm pointing to is we've lost one of the people that was participating from that. So we just kind of need to reformulate.
Yeah.
The subcommittee or some other forum so that we are able to move.
I can't imagine that they'll have a problem with it.
We're just not having that conversation right now.
So I really like this plan.
Okay, can I hear a motion from somebody?
let's see, we can move on? I move that we should. I'm getting very tired. I move that we should take part in in bringing our tent and activities at the dog park where we set up a tent and take licenses. How often? Every...
Well, that could be determined. To be determined at the next meeting when we have a further discussion.
I love it. To be determined at our next meeting. I move that we, set up a booth at the dog park to take licenses. To be determined further. Details to be determined further at our next meeting.
I second that.
Yeah. Okay.
All in favor?
That was a pretty.
Aye.
Okay. These are all of our home addresses?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay, I think just to be helpful, I think I'm going to map out the dog park locations and just so we know where they're at in comparison to our homes. And I think that would make it easier for us to do it more conveniently.
Well, yes. So right. If you want to bring that next time, that would be awesome. And then everybody that is here, then we can find out who's interested in doing this and what... maybe we can talk to Dogpaw prior to that to find out what their best times that they think it would be good for us, and then figure out what their times and our members, how that all correlates together, and then see who's available, and then we can make a sign-up sheet, because it really only needs to be two people at a time.
Yeah.
And we don't need to do it, every week or anything, but we can just figure out how much, and I think it'll depend on how much fun it is. Somebody might think, this is really fun. I want to go back and do this next week, And maybe they'll say, I don't ever want to do that again.
Every Saturday.
Yeah, so, probably not, but yeah. But, and then you'll check.
I'll look into to see if the availability of the iPad.
Okay, if not, somebody will have to. But the only downfall of using your own would be having somebody grab it and run.
Yeah, but...
And that chances of that happening are really not very good. No,
and
so.
Literally, grab their leash.
Yeah.
So you have the dog.
You may have the tablet, but I got your dog. And I think your dog probably is... you're going to want your dog.
Yeah.
So that's probably not going to be a problem.
Okay. Wonderful.
Well, that sounds like an awesome idea.
Mm. Good job.
Before we close the subject, does anybody have any other great ideas on outreach or... Not necessarily licensing, but just outreach in general?
No.
Okay. Then we will move on. Bites. We have moved Bites to the last section. And I think everybody has...
In your packet.
Has that. Has the one that Anne submitted that... To you, Susan, right? She sent it in to you, didn't she? Did she not send it to you?
I emailed
I emailed Ann emailed this, Ann Dunbar's bite scale to us. I emailed this scale to Susan and requested that she write something, maybe a definition for bite that would be workable for staff in a way that we could have a motion, something that would work for her and that we could vote on tonight. We don't have that tonight for us, but I wanted to bring forward
what is the definition of bite mean?
We don't have.
There is no definition.
We have no definition for bite.
In what?
In the code.
In the county code.
No. In the county code. Okay. So we Ann brought this up last quarter.
Okay.
That we are giving tickets and making decisions based on whether or not someone's dog has bitten someone a person, and yet we actually do not define bite.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and she said that there is this scale.
The Dunbar bite scale.
The Dunbar bite scale, and said that she would email this to us. Many of us were not familiar with it, and she said that this is well recognized.
It is well recognized in the world of animal training and even sheltering and whatnot. Let me see, how can I say this? The county attorneys are not likely to allow language utilizing something like this in
sure.
the code.
This is so, too yeah. rough. It's a scale. It doesn't, you know.
Right. I get that.
But having something does actually
right.
make sense.
I agree. I was just going to suggest maybe looking at other municipalities' definitions.
I like that idea.
Before we start going down the road of trying to develop one of our own, because what I found in my many years of doing this, that what we believe as animal lovers is right and real and, you know, valid does not necessarily equate to what the county / city municipal state code allows for. And so before we start kind of going down that, you know, path of doing something that's going to just get shot down, let's look at what other municipalities have, because I'm pretty sure that there's something out there.
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
We just wanted to make sure that this definitely got its due diligence.
Right, absolutely.
And even if that means that this is brought forward next agenda item,
mm-hmm.
Or next quarter, with maybe a more solidified
mm-hmm.
Definition.
Right.
But that we discuss whether or not it's Ann Dunbar or, you right. know, looking at other municipalities
right.
that
right.
we're bringing forward a definition
mm-hmm.
That we could then create a motion on and vote
yeah.
and get
definitely.
Behind. This
yep.
is too important
yep.
of
sure.
to have a gap in our code.
Right.
It just seemed odd that there wasn't a mm-hmm. definition in the code already. I was...
No, not so odd. There's the codes are vague for a reason. They like to be vague because then they don't have to be. They don't, because then there's more ability to interpret it.
Yeah, yeah. But then it sometimes becomes a little too subjective.
Believe me, like I just said, what you and I and animal welfare lovers and animal people, normal people, believe is appropriate is not what the city and county allows into their laws. They're totally different languages. So,
could we have issues in the past where people said, no, that's not really a bite, that's a bite?
Yeah, that was my other question, is have we had issues where...
My recollection is that we were challenged on a case where, because the code says bite,
mm-hmm.
the person argued that there was a single bite,
yeah.
and therefore it was not a dangerous dog.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it sounds like that was upheld, if I have to. Unfortunately,
we modified that code to
also
say bite.
also there,
but
one
but,
or more
but
bites.
But
yeah, but I know there's not a definition, but we can I think fix that.
So is this worth us going down this road to check other codes and to get all this information?
Absolutely. We want language that supports the intent.
Okay. As long as we don't make it too detailed, as in this is just way too much information. So we need something between nothing and this.
Yes.
To make everybody happy.
Right.
Okay.
Another advantage of finding code language from another jurisdiction.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's
what I think.
Already been vetted through law.
Exactly.
Right.
I love
it. Most likely.
Okay.
Yes.
Do I hear a motion?
Anybody else?
Somebody, yeah, Charlena, make a motion.
I'm sorry.
You caught me at the one moment where I'm like,
Kyle,
for something.
We move to look into not only municipalities, but maybe state law as well, codes, county codes, to see if there are any definitions that we can use for bite and move that forward for possible consideration, county codes.
I heard next meeting.
Second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
Motion passes.
So everybody can do their own. This won't take long for anybody. So I think everybody could just look up bite definitions and other jurisdictions,
yep.
And everybody may come up with completely different things.
Yeah.
And then
we'll bring this back.
Could
next
maybe we,
item.
If everybody emailed what they find, like a couple weeks before the meeting, like 3 weeks before the meeting, if you emailed what you found to Susan, then could you compile all those things and send them out to everyone? And then we would have it before the meeting, so it would give everyone a chance to read through what everybody found. And then that can be, that will give us a good discussion then for the next meeting.
It's April 1st. The next meeting, I think, is
April
23rd.
Yeah, so April, yeah. April Fool's.
So when you do that, it would probably be helpful. All these codes have citations. Like
right.
Life Code Washington.
Right.
Harvey,
put what it is, yes.
Yeah, put that in.
Yeah. Don't just send the verbiage.
Right.
Send, you know.
And then we can
she needs to know where it came from.
Where it came from, and then we can use that, too, for interpretation.
Right.
Well.
Right.
And I think the link, too, just...
Yeah, a link would be good,
too.
You know, I mean, if it's a revised code from Florida,
right.
You know, we need to know that.
Right, right.
You know. Okay. Okay, we have a good plan. There.
By April 1st, don't make it an April Fool's Day joke.
No, I think everybody will be serious. Okay. Any further comment on bites? Are we closed that one out? Okay. So next we have public forum, and as you can see, we are surrounded by many public. Yes, okay.
Kidding. We're kidding. We're kidding.
Yes, we're kidding. I have seen them walking the hallway. Okay, we have announcements and good of the order next, and those are two new things that are on. Before we just had roundtable, and now we have announcements and good of the order. So announcements... I have to read what it is here.
I'll sit next to me.
You didn't write it.
What, announcements?
No, you didn't write it. It's not written down here.
Sorry.
No, you just wrote announcements, but you didn't write down what it. I mean, I think I can. Announcements are things like your organization is having a gala benefit dinner for the horses or the coyotes or whoever it is, and you know you want us all to attend, something like that. See, I knew it was on here somewhere.
Second.
Announcements, yes. It's a chance to mention fundraisers, galas, events, other announcements, something that relates to animals or the organization in some form, not just, you know, that you're doing a tour at the graveyard next Friday. That really doesn't have too much to do with us. And then good of the order is a chance for you to bring up things that we didn't discuss, not things that would need a motion, just comments that you want to make. It can be, you know, like, that was a great meeting, or I really appreciated this, or, you know, I have an issue with that, or, you know, just something along those lines. So first we have announcements. Does anyone have an announcement? No announcements? No one has any fundraisers or anything going on? You don't have anything till May?
No. I'll have something to talk about in April.
I know. Okay.
Well,
okay.
I have nothing official, but I had emailed Susan about this. I've just recently become members of, like, Relief Crafters or Rescue Crafters, if you will. I don't know if anybody sews or knits or anything, but this all came about because of the Australia wildfires. And we have donated so many, like, Joey pouches and just pouches in general for animals that they shut internationally, they shut down the donations because we donated so much. So now we're kind of turning to local stuff, and I think I might want to talk to you, but if you guys are interested, I'd be happy to send you the information. It's just crafting, doing stuff you do anyhow, but like making dog beds and blankets and stuff like that.
And where would these things be just going to, like, maybe the shelter?
Yes.
or
well,
just
that's what I'm talking
or other,
about
other
now.
Places that are dealing with animals.
Emergencies.
The possibilities are really endless. It's on a per need basis. So, like I said, right now we're trying to shift the focus off of Australia because we've given them.
They've been inundated.
I mean, they're just drowning and stuff, which is awesome. It is awesome, but, you know, now we have so many people that want to help now that we're trying to figure out a way to refocus that locally.
So, what is that group called?
These are just little Facebook groups I'm part of. I'd have to. It's like Rescue Crafters of America. I think there's specifically a Washington hub, and I think they're making some in Oregon too. So just different things. If you guys are interested, I'd be more than happy to send you the information.
I would
love
that. Why don't you just send that out to all, to everyone?
Sounds good.
And you could put a little blurb for the ones that aren't here so they'll understand what you're sending.
Why don't you send it, instead of sending it, disseminating it to the board, from you to the board, why don't you send it
To Susan?
To Susan, and she can send it.
Now, these are just boards that are looking for ideas on places, too. So this is just a bunch of people, nothing official, that are making stuff. What I'm needing is places to actually donate to. So we're looking for physical
organizations
that need
could use the craft.
Yes, exactly, that could use these things. So we don't have, like, I'm not looking for anything specific. I just wanted to let you guys know that I'm doing this right now, and if you want to participate, you're more than welcome.
Well, we can just contact you individually. We don't want to put up more on our plate. We can contact you individually.
I called it forward on here, so I'm going to contact them and see if they, because they're close and have helped the community a lot. So I'll call them. I want to get in contact with the Humane Society. I'm sure there's a lot of people,
Well, there's other smaller organizations.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, like Holly, who is here tonight. She's with Second Chance Companions.
Yep. Yeah.
So they
West Columbia Gorge,
they deal with
and
cats.
Friends,
you know, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 And, I mean, these things, you know, they get urinated on and tossed. Yeah, and
right.
So, I mean, there's always a need for a surplus, I think. So.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Okay, well, that's great information to have. Thank
you
for sharing.
We can contact you if we need more information.
Yeah, for sure.
Any other announcements? Good of the order?
Can I ask a question on the good of the order?
Sure.
So I'm looking at training, and it looks like that was earlier before
you arrived.
Mm-hmm. Is that open public meetings?
Yes. Yes. Which you probably have already done.
Yes.
I would hope you'd already done that.
Can we do this every year?
The law says every 4 years.
Uh-huh.
Pretty sure that you're
subject to the Open Public Meetings Act.
Yes.
We are subject to the Open Public Meetings Act.
Yes.
There's a whole facts thing
yes.
in there that you can look at.
So I'm intimately knowledgeable.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you are the most covered.
Well,
yeah.
So the bar association for many, many years said we're not subject to the OPMA. And so they would set their own agendas, and we would have executive meetings and a lot of things. And then a lawsuit was brought last year that said, and they brought a motion to the judge, and the judge said, yeah, you are subject to it. It's gone all the way up to the Supreme Court right now, who are considering whether we're subject to it. But it's thrown a whole big mess to us, because you have to, every year, you have to give a schedule of meetings to the code revisor's office, and if you don't do that, then you can't have, like, good of the order and other things. You can't talk about anything other than what's in your schedule. And it also, there's a whole big thing about 24-hour notice of meetings and all that we're doing already.
The training wasn't bad. Actually, Pat and I have already done it, or at least a large majority of it. I've included a lot of the information in the packet for you. We did the online portion. There's supposed to be an in portion, so the RCW that you have the open on the page says, like, the online training can't be the only portion of training. There has to be another portion. I also included the certificate that the Attorney General's office has on the bottom of the page, where you can kind of check off the various sections. There's little videos that you can just, you know, on a Saturday afternoon, you can sip your tea, you can watch the videos, you can click through the links, and it's really kind of informative, and I'm sure you know a lot of it. For a citizen like us, I learned a ton.
Sure.
Pat and I, we met for coffee, and we were like, did you know this? Fascinating for someone who is not as familiar, which is great, and which is why we're trying to be a little more exacting.
Right.
But it is why we are sharing this information. From what I can see, it's that when we're elected onto a board, it's, you know, training's supposed to be done within 90 days. It's then refreshed within every 4 years.
And that's why I was asking, because I've had training with regard to the Bar Association. I haven't had training here.
Right, and so it's really not, this is not supposed to come from your chair and co-chair. Of course, this is supposed to come from the agency,
right.
Not from us.
Right.
It just happened to be that during a discussion with Susan, she happened to mention that our attorney had brought up that our board needs open government training. And I went and I looked it up and I found that and went, oh,
yeah.
And I printed everything out and I created these packets.
So part of
and
the
I did the training right away.
Yeah, and so part of the training is if you've got, you've got to be careful about quorums.
Mm-hmm.
So me, Pat, Ariel, Charlene, I can't meet and talk about things outside.
No,
of
no.
This.
Which is what we've been working about.
Two people can because you're not a quorum.
Unless you have an email or something.
Yeah,
and
then that is different.
A chain, yeah.
Right.
A daisy chain.
So we're going to work to try and what you missed earlier was that as this is a new year, this is kind of a new effort to be more exacting, and not just with Robert's Rules of Order, but parliamentary procedure, and we're learning, and so we're going to hopefully be sharing that knowledge with each other and be increasingly exacting as we go. So, of course, when Charlena showed up, she said, I don't feel very well. Could I stay for part of the meeting and then go? And I said, well, you could go, but then we won't be a quorum because we're,
yeah.
And then we'll have
right.
to stop the meeting. And she
right.
said, okay, I will stay. And I threw the halls out for her on the board, on the table, and said, thank you, because we wouldn't be a quorum.
Yeah.
And this is just our efforts to be increasingly more exacting
and
more conscious of the things that we may have
yeah.
been doing correct, but more conscious of the things that now we are a quorum.
We're going to try and start following the rules better.
And the reason I say it's scary is because there's personal liability.
Yes.
There is
yes,
personal
there is.
Liability.
Yeah.
Yes. But with the training, it says in the facts page, there is not personal liability on page 10. It says
not
something.
Personal liability for training?
If it says something to the effect of, there's not necessarily personal liability if we haven't completed the training.
Right. No, the personal liability comes in when you're having these meetings outside.
Exactly, daisy chaining. So yeah. Sharing information from one to the next to the next to the next is just as bad as having a, as having a meeting secretly. So doing the training, it's worth
training,
it.
The
worth it.
Great.
It's good. It's worth it. You'll learn a lot. You will learn a ton.
Unfortunately, I've been through it a number of times now, which is what's scary about all of us, which is good. But we want to be careful about emails, and we want to be careful about what we do outside of these meetings, and we want to be careful about our agendas and notifications.
We don't
want to have for good of the order, because that would be great for Robert's Rules of Order, but the Open Public Meetings Act is a whole different animal.
Right.
So we can't bring up new subjects to talk about. We have to have a notice requirement of that. So it's something to keep in mind when we're putting together our schedule.
For what?
Crossed off good of the order.
Yes, take that off.
Why?
Because if you raise a new issue that you haven't provided 24 hours notice at least. Sometimes it's longer than that.
In good of the order?
Yes. If it's a new topic and we start talking about it, then we violated the Open Public Meetings Act.
Because there wasn't 24 hours
notice. There wasn't proper notice to the public.
We're in a public meeting right now.
But we didn't give the notice beforehand. That's the thing about the Open Public Meetings Act.
We are in a public meeting right now.
No, but he's saying if there's a specific item that comes up during the good of the order, because it's sort of this general, and it wasn't specifically noted in the 24-hour notice,
right,
then we can't discuss it in the meeting.
The way
we should not discuss good of the order things.
Right.
Don't bring it up.
Yeah.
So
everything has to be on the agenda. It has to be given notice to the public.
So I have something for good of the order. And if it wants to be discussed, it should become an agenda item for next quarter.
Yes,
good of the order is worth it, because I think it's a chance for our board members to bring up items.
It's fine if you put
but
it in there.
It's not a discussion. It's not a time for discussion.
Oh.
So it's not a discussion item.
So
it's a chance for people to bring up concerns. So it's a chance. Good of the order is specifically a chance for people to ask parliamentary questions, like you just did. Good of the order, according to the book, I mean, from what I could read on Robert's Rules in the book, it was saying it's a chance for people to ask questions about parliamentary procedure. It's a chance for people to say, I really liked that speaker, I'd like to bring them back. It's a chance for them to even potentially raise concerns ethically about another board member or somebody else. It's a chance for them. So it's not necessarily a chance for discussion. If discussion needs to happen, then it would be on our chair to say this needs to be an agenda item for next quarter.
So there's differences between good of the order and point of order.
Okay.
And the point of orders are generally that. It's when there's an issue with regard to the process, and you make a motion. You see this in the impeachment hearings all the time.
Mm-hmm.
They're making these motions in order to table things or to say that it's inappropriate to have that discussion at this point. All of that is right parliamentary procedure in Robert's Rules. Good of the order usually means at the end, it's like, okay, is there anything else that people want to offer?
Right.
Yeah, and that's dangerous.
I have a very specific example that maybe will help my learning. When we were talking about pet licensing subcommittee, there really wasn't, I said, well, I don't have a report this time. But what I did have, and I didn't bring up at that time, was that we've lost a participant on the subcommittee, and I think we need to rework who's on it and kind of what we're doing. And is that just having that line item, is that sufficient when you really are expecting an actual report? Or would it be, in the good of the order, I'd say we need to actually talk about if we add another member?
You can have good of the order if you haven't had the issue that's identified.
Right, but it wouldn't fall under, just because it's here, pet licensing, subcommittee, and I have a question about want to bring up that we've lost a participant. That's not where it goes, because that's a report.
Right.
Okay. I just need to be very precise.
And we need to be careful about that, too, because
okay.
You can't go out of order. You have to, once you've moved on, you can't go back.
So,
The whole idea here is give the public notice. Yeah. And so that they could participate in that. Mm-hmm. And so if you have it at one part of your meeting, you know, they may say, well, I thought you were going to have that before. Or, I thought you were going to have that later. So theoretically, that's a violation of the Open Public Meetings Act. It's so scary, the Open Public Meetings Act. Because, again, we've got people who are watching this and are bringing motions in court based on you skipped over something and then you went back. And we'd have to have special meetings because of that, and we'd have to notice things for 2 or 3 days later when everybody can do a 5-minute thing. It's just incredibly, there's traps all over the place.
Sure.
But the substance of it, the idea of it is good, is that you want to give the public notice of everything that we're doing. Mm-hmm. You can kind of get around the scheduling or the itemization. If you publish with the Code Revisor's Office every year your meeting lists, and so then the public apparently knows that these meetings are going to happen, and you can be a little bit more flexible with agenda items. But until you do that, then you've got to be really stickler for what's on your agenda.
So explain to me how that would work with walk-on items, because I know council and often has walk-on items. Like for me, when I looked at what good of the order is, I have a good of the order item that does not require discussion, that does not require anybody to say anything, but I have a concern that relates to our organization that I would like to bring up. It doesn't require a motion. Obviously, if it required an action, that should be pushed forward to the next meeting. And nothing in good of the order should ever require a motion or even discussion. That should be pushed out to next quarter if it required further discussion or an action.
Yeah, and you would think that action would be a good...
motion, but it's also discussion.
It's also deliberation.
It's also discussion. Right. It's also deliberation. So if what I'm going to say requires deliberation, then that should be pushed forward to next quarter.
Yes.
And that would be put, that watching that is Pat's job, right? But being able to bring up a concern in good of the order, an ethical concern, is something that I should have an opportunity to do.
It's with regard to the process. Yes, that's fine. If something's happened, that the process is gone awry.
You're talking about the process of the agenda.
A process of a situation.
Yeah, well, the process of the meeting.
No, it has to be something about the agenda and the meeting, you're saying.
For instance, if you have a motion and you get no second, but then you move to all in favor, aye, all opposed. Well, then you would have a point.
Or in my case, it's an ethical concern about someone.
Ethical concern about someone. That still strikes me as more of a process thing, not an agenda item.
It's not an agenda item.
Yeah. I don't know. You'd have to be a little bit more specific on what.
Well, then, would you like to hear my good of the order?
I don't know.
It does not require discussion, but I'd like to bring it up. It's a concern that I have regarding our organization.
Okay.
And I think good of the order is a time where we don't need discussion. I just need to bring it up. And it's information that needs to be shared with our board and needs to be shared with Susan.
So we're not going to deliberate about it.
It requires no deliberation.
Nobody can say anything then. But if somebody starts making comments, then it becomes a discussion and then that's...
You're just going to bring it up, and we're just going to sit here, and we'll hear it.
And then that's okay, then?
It's not deliberation. So
it's not deliberation.
Yeah.
We're not debating it, and there's no motion to be brought on it.
Okay.
If you have further concerns, we can bring this up for an agenda item next quarter. Could? Okay. I am a lead on our next door for my local neighborhood, and
our subcontractor for iPod at Ford lives in a nearby neighborhood. I believe that subcontractors for emergency services should be held to the same standard as our regular animal control officers for professional conduct with the public. I do not believe that our current subcontractor for our pod at Ford is meeting that standard. I live in her area. I see her posts and comments that she leaves on residents' pages simply because they show up on my page and because they are reported by nearby residents. They are, in my view, inappropriate for someone in her position. She has indicated that she is associated with animal control and the county. And I wanted to take this time to express my concern about her social and public posts to the media or on social media and how that is coming forward to our citizens that she is serving. I have printed several of them for you, Susan, if you want them.
Is there anything else for good of the order?
Well, I was going to make a comment, and I just to say that a lot of work went into to mm-hmm. this new process and agenda and a learning and training, and I really appreciate it, and I am really excited actually to work with us this year. So thank you.
And it's a great idea too, because especially if we're under OBMA.
Yeah.
Wonderful idea.
Yes. Very good job. And I just wanted to say thank you for everybody for being so patient with us, because this meeting was very different than many of our past meetings, because we were kind of like, okay, now how do I do that and what's next? And it's a learning curve. So we're all going to learn together.
I feel as the chair and co-chair that this was a tremendous amount of work. It is greatly appreciated. Mm-hmm. I think we can
definitely.
Thank you.
I ran out of paper and ink.
And I want to thank you for getting everything out before the meeting timely, Susan, too.
24 hours.
It made everything flow easier. Okay, I think we have nothing else then, so we will adjourn the meeting. And I don't need a motion to adjourn the meeting, do I? No? Okay, I don't think so. Okay, we will adjourn the meeting. The next meeting will be April 23rd. Same time, same place. Thank you for all being here.
Thank you, everyone.